In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Now, welcome to the birthday edition of the Federal News Countdown for Friday, August 27th, 2010. On Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, hour number two of the program, as always on Friday, is the Federal News Countdown, and I'm happy to welcome to the studio this week the selectors of the stories we'll be counting down. John Desenberg of the Performance Institute. Grab that microphone, pull it right up to your mouth there, and thank you very much for being on the program today. It's great to see you again.
Always a pleasure, Francis.
You were here just like a week and a half ago.
And I had so much to say that
I just couldn't wait to bring you back. So I'm glad to have you again. Great to see you. And Tom Simmons of Citrix, it's been a couple of months now, since you were here, but we're glad to have you back. And you, of course, are all in green for Power. Now, is it Power IT Down or is it Power It Down Day, or is it either one?
It's either one.
Okay.
The general concept originally was Power IT Down Day.
Mm-hmm.
But it has morphed into Power It Down Day.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that a little bit as we proceed through the countdown on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And I want to say thank you to you and to Joyce, your lovely person coming along with you today, for bringing me cupcakes from Georgetown Cupcake.
Happy birthday. That's delightful.
Yeah,
it's our pleasure, and it's just a little celebration of your birthday.
Well, we're going to break those out during the break and then dig into those on the Federal News Countdown. We're also going to dig into
Number three
news story of the week, as selected by Tom Simmons, is a GovExec story under the headline, Managers Have Reason to Be Wary of Telework. And telework is making some progress legislatively, maybe not as much progress as it could be making at the agencies on the ground. Still, managers are a little bit hesitant to let their people telework.
Absolutely. And you know, the story does a good job of calling out some of the concerns and some of the horror stories associated with attempts to implement telework. And, you know, probably some legitimate concerns around how do I know that my employees are doing their job when they're working from home,
mm-hmm.
and not doing, you know, the extra load of laundry or doing the things that they would normally do over the weekend so they can have fun over the weekend and so forth. And it is an issue. I think the perception of some, especially in private industry that have been implementing telework for many, many years, is that it's a smokescreen to keep from implementing telework. I think the reality is somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
As the article calls out, managers are reluctant to do it. I think the challenge is on the managers to develop the kind of performance criteria, focus on results of each job, especially those jobs that have a telework element to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can put measurable results on the employees as they work on them from home, then you measure the results and not so much the time it takes to get to those results. I know that's the focus that we've taken at Citrix over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that if we get the right kind of buy-in on not just the job, but the results that the job are supposed to produce, we end up getting more hours out of our employees that work from home because, yes, they'll be on email and conference calls and phone calls with our customers during the day. But then after dinner, when things quiet down a little bit, they'll go back in, finish up those emails, mm-hmm. make the notations on their reports that they would have to do after hours. And if we had just a 9-to-5 focus in the office kind of approach to that,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't get that kind of productivity.
Yeah. I think the dirty little secret that I rarely see associated with discussions about telework are the surveys that talk about how productive people are actually in their offices, especially in the internet age where they can be buying stuff online and planning vacations and all that kind of jazz. That information is really accessible online, and there's a level of lost productivity just there right in the cube that supposedly the manager wants the person sitting in so they can be more productive.
Absolutely. If the focus of management is on, I see you, mm-hmm. I see you in the office from 8:30 to 5, so I'm confident that you're doing work and not on the results, you can have that distraction at work where I'm here, but I may be off chatting or doing my Facebook stuff on the computer or on the phone with friends and family, and I'm not focused on the results here that I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a benefit in this across the board. in conversation with John a little bit beforehand. It's about the performance aspects of each and every component within the federal government,
mm-hmm.
so that the employees can focus on what's my contribution?
Yeah.
What are the things that I need to get done to support the mission and be part of this team?
Mm-hmm. Just real quick, the idea that Director Barry wants to change the viewpoint on telework from explain why somebody shouldn't to, or explain why somebody should be able to defend that to tell me why they can't. Is that going to make a difference, do you think, long-term?
I really do, because one of the organizations that has done an outstanding job with telework, I think in the opinion of most of us that watch it, is DISA.
Mm-hmm.
And that was General Krum's position on telework. It's, you know, everybody should be able to know what their job is, what their contribution is, and be able to do it from anywhere. He even talked in comments at one of the trade shows down in Orlando about the fact that he reviewed his secretary's position and commented that that's a telework function. She mm-hmm. can answer the phone from home. She can manage his schedule from home. She can do the correspondence and things like that on a computer from home. So, yes, I absolutely agree that that kind of focus on, instead of justifying why, you should be able to justify why not.
Mm-hmm. Tom Simmons' story number 3 on the Federal News Countdown is from a GovExec. The headline, managers have reason to be wary of telework. And you can find that story and all the stories we're counting down today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. John Desenberg, your story number 3 is from The Post. The headline, can activists thrive in the government workforce? And I guess after I read this story about Shirley Sherrod, my question was, do we want activists? Maybe some are appropriate, maybe some aren't, and depending on the job they do. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Francis. I think it relates a lot to Tom's story number 3, which is what kind of people do we want in the government? Do we want people who are trying to make a difference, who are results-oriented, who are in the government for the right reasons, not just to be visible at their desk from 9 to 5, but to actually really make their mark and help the American people? I think these two stories really link together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Shirley Sherrod, she was a political. And I know this story did touch on the political appointees. But I think the bigger picture is, what kind of career workforce do we want? And Joe Davidson's story from Wednesday's Post, I think, hinted at that. It's more than the politicals. It's what kind of career people are we looking for? And we are looking for passionate people. And the question, which is a very interesting question, is, does the size and nature and complexity of the government bureaucracy really work against those kind of people? And is it the same kind of skill set that brings a passionate person to a nonprofit? Are those same skills applicable in the federal government? And let's be honest, it is a different kind of skill set, and there are some different competencies that an employee has to have in a large government organization. You have to know how to get from A to B, and who needs to get your approval, and whose approval do you need. And there are hoops to jump through, so it is not always the smoothest transition for someone who really badly wants to make an immediate difference in the federal government. I think it's something that OPM has to take a look at. A matter of fact, when we've been at OPM recently, the folks at OPM have asked the Performance Institute, you know, beyond time to hire, let's get beyond time to hire, and let's talk about quality of
mm-hmm.
hire.
Yeah.
Let's take that next step, right? We've spent the last year talking about time to hire. Now let's look at who are we hiring and what type of people are we getting and how successful they are. So I think this kind of article is really playing into this next phase at OPM, which is, okay, we've improved the hiring process. Now what kind of people are we actually going to have here, and are they the type who will really make a difference? It's interesting, and a follow-up was in today's Post, Francis, which is over at ICE, and I'm sure you saw the article about what's happening at ICE, mm-hmm. which is that the rank and file at ICE, who really are passionate about their jobs and, of course, also want to be secure on the job, are up in arms about where the political leadership is taking them under this administration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting interplay between people who come to the government because of mission, and then see roadblocks and other political issues stopping them from achieving that mission.
Your point about speed of hiring compared to quality of hiring also goes to what we were listening to in the lead up to this hour of the program. The report released by the partnership yesterday, talking about how you assess the people that you're going to bring in. They may be missing, according to this survey, this report, a number of qualified people because of the way that they bring them in. So this that seems to be an element of what you're talking about there too.
Well, you know, I was talking to someone at OPM recently about this, and you know, time to hire, it's like your house. You can paint your front door, but once you get in the house, if the house is a mess, you're not going to want to stay very long. And I think we've got to really think about that. Time to hire is just the opening message that we're sending, but there are a lot of other messages that the government sends to employees once they're on board, and we really want to think about that. And by the way, government organizations have been getting bigger and more complicated and more layered. And unfortunately, I think those layers work against sometimes the activists who come to government to make a difference.
John Desenberg, story number three in the Federal News Countdown this week is headlined, Can Activists Thrive in the Government Workforce? A look at the case of Shirley Sherrod, the FDA, the USDA employee who was let go and declined an invitation to come back. And you can find that story at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Story number two from Tom Simmons and John Desenberg when the Federal News Countdown continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
The former chief of UN nuclear inspections worldwide told Le Monde newspaper that Iran has stockpiled enough low-enriched uranium for 1 to 2 nuclear arms. But Ali Heinonen said it wouldn't make sense for them to cross the bomb-making threshold with such a small amount. Even though Iran's stated goal is producing nuclear power, Heinonen said Iran's uranium reserve still represents a threat. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money. Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Arink comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
This message is for all women over the age of 45. What words would you use to describe the skin on your neck and chest? Dry? Wrinkled? Sun damaged? How about turkey neck? If any of those descriptions sound familiar, we want you to participate in a nationwide release of the revolutionary breakthrough, NuvaSkin. For a free trial, call 1-800-700-0695. Phone lines will be open until midnight tonight, but we recommend calling now to guarantee your risk-free trial before supplies run out. NuvaSkin is specially formulated for the thin skin on your neck and chest with clinically proven ingredients that visibly firm, contour, and moisturize. It helps to smooth sagging skin and restore your neck's firmness and elasticity. This proprietary formula can't be found in department stores and certainly not in any drugstores. So take advantage of this exciting opportunity to see dramatic results for free. Participate in this nationwide release of NuvaSkin. Phone lines will be open until midnight and all calls will be answered. 1-800-700-0695. 1-800-700-0695.
You're the master and commander. You've got the helm. You rule with one touch in a million places. With Verizon, you control your small business with America's largest push-to-talk coverage area. You touch, you connect, and push the boundaries of push-to-talk.
Now, buy one BlackBerry Bold for only $99.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get another Bold free. Plus, for a limited time, the Bold comes with free push-to-talk monthly service.
Dominate the marketplace with massive coverage and group connections to up to 50 people.
Sign up for commanding push-to-talk coverage. Speak with a small business specialist at any Verizon Wireless store. Visit VerizonWireless.com/smallbusiness or call 1-800-VZW4BIZ.
Rule the air. Verizon.
All phones require new two-year activation on a voice plan. BlackBerry requires data pack $29.99 or higher. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Your website, it's one of the key ways of getting information out. We'll talk to a professor who studied congressional websites. He has recommendations about what works and what doesn't. And we'll talk to a website expert who says a good website, well, it's more than just IT. And those amazing Mars rovers, an update on their now 6-year mission. This afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown. Every Friday at 2, we count down the three most important federal news stories of the week as chosen by two experts in the world of the federal government. Today, the countdown, courtesy of Tom Simmons of Citrix and John Desenberg of the Performance Institute, and we're up to
number two.
The second most important news story of the week is selected by John Desenberg as an Information Week story, and the headline is Pentagon Confirms Flash Drive Breached Military Network. This happened in 2008. We're just learning about it now because it was a classified incident, but this kind of thing probably goes on a lot more, John, than we know about or hear about in the media.
Well, you know, we all, anyone who's had anything to do with the government over the last 2 years knew that DOD had banned these flash drives, and so everyone knew something had happened. And then this week we got more of the details. But, you know, the reason I included this, Francis, is the scope and the size and the type of the breach, even in the kind of coded language that the Deputy Secretary of Defense uses, you can tell that this was very significant, very, very disturbing. And the other issue, and you can read more about this on the Foreign Affairs website as well, more details, the fact that you don't know exactly when they caught this. The Deputy Secretary talks about that it went on for some time, and then somehow, hopefully sooner than later, they caught it, but we really don't know. They talk about it as a virtual beachhead that they stormed and then that they had occupied for quite some time. And this really, I think, gets to the core of people's fears on cybersecurity, that we're under attack 24/7. You know, the Department of Defense likes to talk about it in terms of, you know, the typical war and the Cold War, but it's obviously much, much worse because we don't know exactly who the enemy is. We don't know where they're coming from. And, you know, getting to Tom's story and issues on telework, these kind of stories, I think, push back against telework because it creates an atmosphere of fear. And even though telework can be very secure, people don't know really whether it is or it isn't. And so this is not only a problem for the government as far as our Defense Department, it's a problem for all of us as we try to move towards a more modern system of working.
I can see managers holding this story up saying, I don't want this to be me. This not on my watch. Tom, you're in the network business. Mm-hmm. When you hear this quote, this must make your hair stand up in the back of your neck. The flash drive's malicious computer code, placed there by a foreign intelligence agency, uploaded itself onto a network run by the U.S. Central Command. That code spread undetected on both classified and unclassified systems, establishing what amounted to a digital beachhead from which data could be transferred to servers under foreign control. It just doesn't get worse than that, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And I think that's a testament to how far we've come, but yet how far we have to go in the implementation of technology as cyber threats become more and more critical and more devastating as they're successful. Historically, you look at the focus of cyber defense, and it was all at the perimeter. If I can keep the folks from getting inside my firewall, I have done my job.
Mm-hmm.
And so strong authentication, credentialed users only onto the systems, completely isolated systems within the Defense Department with no access to the internet or the outside world at all. In that isolation and that perimeter defense, let's make sure that we keep somebody out. And this is a breach that shows once I break through that very fortified exterior, once I'm in, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can run rampant. And that's exactly what happened here, is that we got through that perimeter fence, the code gets uploaded, and then because we don't have the same kinds of checks and monitors within the secure environment, we're not paying attention to what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has opened a lot of eyes over the years since it was detected. Not a lot of it's public, but I can tell you that a lot of the work that's going on in the community right now that manages those secure networks is increasing what we do to monitor the traffic, the utilization, and everything that goes on there. So that we can find and identify anomalies in traffic within those secure networks the way we do on some of the non-secure and public networks today.
You know, Francis, I think another disturbing aspect to this that you don't hear a lot about, and we hear about it a little bit from folks over at DHS and elsewhere, a lot of this is in private hands. Utilities, dams, transportation, bridges, toll roads, nuclear plants, you name it. The government does not own these assets. And let's be very clear, the government can't force these private firms to harden their defenses. And that is just as, if not more disturbing than the Defense Department being breached, because at least if it's a government computer, the government is working on this and can do something. With all of these private dams and bridges and what have you, you know, there's no way of telling if they're actually going to improve these things.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where DHS has come in. Their awareness campaigns around cybersecurity and some of the defenses for the known threats that are out there is absolutely critical. I don't think anyone is advocating yet that we implement cybersecurity standards in the private sector. But I think everybody, I mean, Citrix included, places a very high value on our intellectual property in the kind of infrastructure that you're talking about, you know, the dams and the electrical grid and the water supply and things like that. There is a public trust aspect of the information that's contained in those networks, and there needs to be a high emphasis on cybersecurity and how do we prevent these kinds of things.
John Desenberg, story number two on the Federal News Countdown this week is from Information Week. The headline is Pentagon Confirms Flash Drive Breached Military Networks, and you can find it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Story number two of the week from Tom Simmons of Citrix, when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio. Radio 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Mike Vaccara. Another sign today that the economic recovery is sputtering. The Commerce Department revised the nation's economic growth rate downward to a sluggish 1.6% in the second quarter. A surge in imports is being blamed for slowing growth. The government of Chile has released video of the men who have been trapped for weeks deep in a copper mine. NBC's Mike Taibbi.
They're all happy, lots of thumbs up, lots of smiles, hello to their family members and relatives, thanks to their rescuers, but also a plea to get us out of here soon.
However, the men may not be rescued anytime soon. It could be Christmas before they're finally freed. The Washington Nationals have announced that rookie pitching sensation Steven Strasburg has a torn ligament in his elbow and could be out of action for all of next season. Strasburg racked up 92 strikeouts in just 68 innings this season. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Mike Vaccara, NBC News Radio.
Mark, technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
Torn up roads can cause big problems for windshields. My last customer ignored a small chip on his, drove over a pothole, and crack. If only he'd called us sooner. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Call SafeLight at 1-800-800-2727.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
One for you, one for me, two for you. Two for me.
Kids can be surprisingly generous, especially in doling out germs. But when your kids go back to school, you can help curb some of that germy generosity. Join us in donating Clorox disinfecting wipes to your child's classroom. They kill the germs on hard surfaces your kids touch every day. Wherever your kids play, use Clorox generously. Clorox. Kill the germs, not the fun. Ask school before donating. Parental delivery only. Use as directed.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
There's honor among hackers and a well-organized business plan. Here's Colin Clark, Vice President and Senior Cybersecurity Analyst at Forrester Research.
I haven't seen any organization like this where they've got SLAs that within 12 hours, if this type of malware doesn't work for you, we'll generate a new one for you. That's the kind of support that they're providing to people who buy malware from them.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
No tickets to the game? Well, tune in to Channel 50 WDCW and watch all the action as Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens take on the New York Giants at M&T Bank Stadium this Saturday, August 28th, in their last preseason home game. Kickoff is 7:30 p.m., so make sure your TV is tuned in to WDCW Channel 50 to catch every play. For more information about this game and upcoming games, please visit BaltimoreRavens.com. That's BaltimoreRavens.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown, the birthday edition of the Countdown with Tom Simmons of Citrix and John Desenberg of the Performance Institute. And Tom, I want to also thank you and Joyce Bosk, who accompanied you here today, for the lovely cupcakes for my birthday. From where are they from? Georgetown Cupcake, the ones that are ladies on the TV show. And they're just delicious, and
so
thoughtful.
I'll be walking back to the office in Bethesda after that cupcake.
I'll be waddling back to my desk because there are two here after we served them around the room, and I'm not sure that the two are going to make it to the end of the countdown, if you know what I mean. Your story number two on the countdown is Max Kakis' story from federalnewsradio.com, headlined OMB Targets Fixes for Mission Critical IT Projects. As somebody who's in the IT business serving the federal government, we talked about this with Max when it happened. There's a list of projects that OMB is going to put the microscope to and make sure that they are fixed and get back on track. You like this idea?
I do. I think, you know, there's two ways to read the article and the intent behind what OMB is doing. Oversight would say, you know, things aren't going the way they should, and we need to make sure that that happens. The other way to read it, in the way that I read it optimistically, is that these are very important, mission-critical kinds of projects that are of significance to not just the agency, but the mission that they put forward out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a renewed approach, maybe with some best practices that come from outside of government, could help move them along. My read is that Vivek Kundra is saying, we have in large government systems built extensive requirements and specs that go along with them, and they become massive projects that really take millions and millions, in some cases billions of dollars, and lots of years. And we don't do a good job of identifying milestones along the way every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get down the road with lots of time, lots of money, lots of energy, and find out that it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do we do?
Yeah.
So the whole focus behind this, in my read, is that Kundra is saying, let's break these big, massive, multi-year projects down into 90 to 120-day building blocks to the overall system. Because there, then, you get the benefit of smaller projects, smaller scope. I can show successes along the way. I can see the benefit of those successes along the way.
Yep.
And as we implement those building block successes, it may change the overall scope of the end project.
Mm-hmm.
But the real focus is on, you know, let's not hide behind process and the massive big government project as it is. Let's break it down into more manageable little steps. I think that does several things. It keeps the focus on the problem at hand. It prevents what we call scope creep that, you know, oh, well, if we can do this over here, maybe we can do that much more in the problems right adjacent to it.
And that's where these things go off the rails a lot of times, isn't it?
It can be crippling because everybody, every constituent then has their two cents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they're not important. It's just that that does tend to delay progress in the things that we know we can fix.
Well, and important and necessary are two different things, too.
True. True.
So,
necessary would mean if I don't do it, there's going to be consequences. Important says, yeah, it's probably a nice to have or something down the road that we will have.
Mm-hmm.
But this allows that distinction to say, let's fix the things that are fixable now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll build on that as we go forward to, you know, the ultimate end game.
Now, John, you're not an IT guy. You're a manager guy. So in that respect, this is right in your wheelhouse, too. The way this is working out, does this make sense to you from a managerial perspective?
Well, you know, not even knowing much at all about technology, although I did work for a CIO, you just pick up the list of high-priority projects, and anyone, any taxpayer could pick this list up, and right away you look at the Department of Defense, and you see that the three projects on the list for the Department of Defense are pay and personnel systems, one each for the Army, Navy, and Air Force. And if you're a taxpayer, you've got to be asking yourself, why on earth do we need not one project that's out of control, but three projects that are out of control?
That do the same thing.
That do the same thing all at once. And, you know, the story behind this, you know, the replacing the dimer system, and we've spoken to people at Navy about this, the three branches could not agree on one system and argued that they had to go their own way. And I just don't think we have the money in this government to do things that way anymore.
Are you encouraged by some of the things that Secretary Gates is talking about when it comes to realigning the way the Pentagon does business? You think we'll get away from this kind of thing?
Well, I think that Secretary Gates is certainly putting his money where his mouth is, and we don't see that at all. And I think he is a bipartisan or nonpartisan person, and he's getting at these issues. But you know what? Let's not let Congress off the hook, because I'll tell you what. You can't have a $4.5 billion IT system without Congress at some point being sold on it, mm-hmm, and giving it the thumbs up. And if you look at a lot of these, most of them started back kind of in the heyday of the internet, and when we had a Congress that was very business oriented, a Republican Congress who gave the thumbs up on a lot of these programs. And I do believe that Congress, as well as the agencies, were oversold by some of these vendors on what could actually happen. You know, I just wanted to mention real quick, we had a chance to listen to Danny Werfel over at OMB. And Danny talked about something, which is that OMB now wants accountability to individual people. In other words, if you're a political appointee and you're going to be around for 2 years, well, then we're going to find a 2-year performance objective for you. We're not going to let you roll out a 15-year plan that you won't even be around for at the end. You know,
smart.
That's people getting away from accountability. This is part of OMB's overall effort to bring accountability back to people.
Tom Simmons is story number 2 in the Federal News Countdown this week on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, is from Max Kakis at federalnewsradio.com. OMB targets fixes for mission-critical IT projects. You can read it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And that means that we're ready for story number 1. The most important news story of the week is chosen by Tom Simmons of Citrix and John Desenberg of the Performance Institute. We'll hit number 1 when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues.
FDC.com. Half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Sur La Place in the Palisades area of D.C. This Belgian fine dining gem boasts over 20 types of mussels and a unique beverage list.
Done Right Catering. Unique menus tailored to each customer. Life's a party. Make sure it's done right. And Norton's American Grill and Bar in Tyson's Corner. Award-winning ribs, burgers, and seafood made from scratch at an unbeatable price.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
Do you want to know why you put on weight as you get older? Because your metabolism slows as you age, making it even harder to lose weight. But now there's a weight loss solution that's specifically designed for the aging body. It's called Slender Smoothies, and it can help you fight off fat brought on by aging. To experience the incredible weight loss results for yourself, call now to receive a special 2-week trial through this exclusive radio promotion. Shipping and handling are absolutely free. Call 1-800-600-8006. Slender Smoothies help your body fight off fat by controlling your caloric intake, allowing your body to work as an efficient fat-burning machine. Plus, with a vitamin-packed formula, Slender Smoothies give your body exactly what it needs for optimal weight loss results. If you're looking to lose weight, get healthy, or just maintain your current weight, try Slender Smoothies with a special 2-week trial, only available through this exclusive radio promotion. Shipping and handling are absolutely free. Call 1-800-600-8006. That's 1-800-600-8006.
Which agency has the best transportation or parking options? Federal News Radio is now accepting nominations as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Tell us which agency has the best metro access or parking lots and which makes your overall commute a little bit easier. Send us an email or fill out your anonymous form with the agency you think deserves recognition. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best of. Nominations are being accepted all week.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Thanks for listening to the Federal News Countdown on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Each week at this time, two experts in the federal world choose the news stories they think are the most important federal news stories of the week. They rank them in order from number 3 to number 1, and we count them down on the Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're up to
number 1.
The most important news story of the week is chosen by Tom Simmons of Citrix, which has a headline, Air Force IT saves big bucks 9 cents at a time. It's a DefenseSystems.com story. And it says the Air Force has discovered it can save millions of dollars by simply turning off its computers at night. I wonder what this might be tied into on what day is today,
today's,
by the way, besides my birthday?
August 27th.
Yeah, and that's what day?
Power IT Down Day.
Oh, that's right.
The
I forgot.
The third annual Power IT Down Day.
Why are you so wrapped up in this? Why is Citrix so wrapped up in this?
So Power IT Down Day is an awareness campaign to let individual IT users know that they can make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Our business at Citrix in virtual computing has a component that supports green IT initiatives in government and private sector. The overall citizen, corporate citizenship associated with that is reduced carbon footprint. One important aspect of it when we started this thing 3 years ago is the cost of energy consumption. If you'll remember 3 years ago in August, gas was $4.25 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was wondering, can we afford to continue to build large data centers that consume energy at the rate and capacity that we were. So we were participating on green IT panels primarily around data center green initiatives. And it was after one of those where John Johnson from GSA and I were having coffee just talking about, you know, the impact that we just kind of made the realization that everything we're talking about is data center stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other end of the equation, the folks that touch the keys and look at the monitor, by EPA estimates, is an equally large drain on energy consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea behind Power IT Down Day was, let's pick the day that's traditionally the hottest day of the summer, when energy consumption for air conditioning is at its peak, and just get people involved.
Mm-hmm.
So Power IT Down Day is just that. Let's make folks aware. One of the things that this article talks about that the Air Force was concerned about in their implementation of a Power IT Down Day every day, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Was the concept that most desktop managers, desktop agency managers, use after hours to push patches and revs to software and all that. So they had policy that said, don't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do the responsible thing. So the Air Force has addressed it by working specifically with Microsoft and tweaking Microsoft operating system to be able to automatically shut these devices down,
mm-hmm.
and take the power drain significantly down. The whole focus around Power IT Day, IT Down Day, is turn it off. And we're asking people to build a new habit, basically. The focus is, at the end of the day, whether you're in the office or at home, before you get up and walk away from your computer, put the power switch on the computer itself, on the monitor, and any attached printer in the off position.
Mm-hmm.
Even energy saver devices will continue to draw power when they're in sleep mode or when they're left on but not in use. The average that we estimate in our work with Intel and HP, that are co-sponsors for Power IT Down Day, is that draws about 15 kilowatt hours over the course of 5:30 in the evening,
mm-hmm.
until 8 o'clock in the morning when you come back in and turn it on.
The scale of this is really something. This story that you chose says that, as the headline says, service saves that Air Force is talking about, saves 9 cents a day per machine. When you scale that, $17 million a year. Now, I can't think of a single agency that wouldn't like to have an extra $17 million in the budget.
600,000 desktops, $17 million per year, and that's just the desktop.
Yeah.
You know, you take that and add to that the impact of the monitor, the printer. And in my case, the first Power IT Down Day, I made some physical adjustments to my workspace.
Mm-hmm.
I took the jumble of cords that were under my desk, put a power supply on top of my desk, and all of those devices that I use, in addition to that, my PDA recharger, headset recharger that I use for my Bluetooth,
mm-hmm.
I put all those on one power strip. So now at the end of the day, I just reach over and turn the power strip off, and everything goes off at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the habit that we're trying to build. $17 million for an organization like the Air Force. You multiply that across all the other agencies. This year, GSA and Health and Human Services picked up and sponsored Power IT Down Day within their organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's not 600,000 desktops across those two organizations, but if we can build the habit in 30,000 desktops or 50,000 desktops,
mm-hmm.
the impact to the taxpayer is I'm not spending that money
right.
on unused energy every night, every week, every year.
This is another one that's just a good managerial technique as well as a good energy-saving technique,
well,
isn't it, John?
You know, and for the average user, which I'll put myself in that group, nothing is more infuriating than getting a device without an off switch. Today, more and more, I'm being given these things at home, my cable company, at work. There is no off right. switch because they don't want you turning it off, and it's so wasteful, it drives people crazy. You know, my philosophy is, if you wouldn't stand for it at home, if you wouldn't want to pay an extra 2 cents on your electricity bill at home, why are you willing to do it at work?
Yep. And you know, that's one of the things, because one of the aspects that made me notice that it's more than just my desktop and monitor that I need to turn off. At the end of the day, when I shut the light down and it's dark, I can look back and I can see the little green and blue glows sitting on my desk. Those are all power drains. So if I can just attach those to that power strip and turn them off, I really do. I make the impact. So what we're asking everybody to do today, this is the commercial part.
Okay.
I'll send
you an invoice.
There you go. We're asking everybody to go to poweritdown.org, register your participation on that website, and then at the end of the day, turn off your monitor, turn off your computer, and turn off your printer.
All right, I'll do it. I promise. I promise. And I'll do it at home before I go to bed tonight.
Perfect.
Story number one on the Federal News Countdown this week from Tom Simmons of Citrix is the DefenseSystems.com story with the headline, Air Force IT Saves Big Bucks, 9 cents at a time. You can find it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. John Desenberg, story number one of the week, when we continue with the Federal News Countdown in moments on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Pat Howard, Chief Information Security Officer, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by McAfee.
I'd say speed and agility is top of my list. The nature of our adversary requires us to be faster and think a lot quicker and be more responsive than we are today.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements make protecting citizens' confidential information increasingly challenging. McAfee is the standard throughout federal, military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to keeping federal agencies ahead of the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, please call 1-888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This federal government update is brought to you by the U.S. General Services Administration.
The Defense Department is reducing the number of contractors it uses by 10% a year through 2012. The move is part of Secretary Gates' plan to reduce redundancy and waste within the agency. He also says DOD will no longer automatically replace departing contractors with full-time personnel. In addition, he has frozen hiring for senior executives on his staff, at defense agencies, and at combatant commands. Gates admits these changes will result in a number of job losses for both contractors and full-time civilian employees.
GSA provides government agencies with customized acquisition, project management, and financial management solutions for complex IT projects and professional services. To learn more, visit gsa.gov/AAS/options. That's gsa.gov/AAS/options. Or call 877-472-4441. That's 877-472-4441. GSA, your everything source for IT and professional services solutions.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for August is Vehicles for Change, a nonprofit organization repairing and providing donated cars to low-income families. A car is the most valuable poverty-fighting tool that can be provided to a low-income family, and Vehicles for Change has awarded over 3,200 cars since 1999. The car increases the opportunity for better employment and family activities never before possible. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Ackerman Security Systems.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Closing out today's Federal News Countdown with story number one, as selected by John Desenberg. It's a blog post, actually, from WashingtonPost.com by Paul Light. The headline is, Why Democrats Are Scared of Government Reform. And I read this with interest. The thesis of this is that there are six reasons that Professor Light lists here that Congress is apprehensive of government reform in the executive branch, and why the executive branch that is in place now, the Obama administration, is taking a leadership role in this. What do you think of this piece?
Well, you know, the reason I made this number one, Francis, although I did want to make Stephen Strasburg number one story, but this was my number one story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
start with that.
And the reason this is my number one story is literally from the minute I got off the air with you a couple weeks ago and I had mentioned government reform and why is the administration moving so slowly, people came up to me and said, thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. People in the agencies, I've had people use words like disorganized, what are they doing? Why aren't we seeing any results? And so while I disagree with some of Paul Light's particular individual points, I do agree with the overall thesis, which is number one, government reform and fixing the way government works is going to be an election issue in the midterm election and in 2 years.
You know, that's a first. I mean, for a long time, nobody really cared one way or the other, it seemed like, in the electorate.
And you know, we're seeing symptoms of that. The USA Today front page stories on how much are people getting paid and who are we hiring. You know, this is bubbling up. 10, 15 years ago, when the economy was doing better, people just kind of ignored a lot of this. But now, as the government is moving into additional areas like healthcare reform and others, people are more and more concerned that management is not going well. A couple of key points here. You know, some additional news I can offer. Shelley Metzenbaum's office this week extended five appointments, what they call Schedule A appointments. Those are two-year term appointments to five individuals from the private sector to come in and to, number one, shed a new light on the Performance Improvement Council and the CIO Council. And so they are, OMB is starting to try to move in this direction. And then the other piece, of course, is Congressman Cuellar and Congressman Platts up on Capitol Hill did move a piece of government reform legislation through the House of Representatives in June. It's the first major piece of kind of performance management legislation that's moved through Congress at all in more than 10 years. So, you know, we are seeing progress, but I will agree with Professor Light on one point, which is that, you know, I'm not someone who raves about the Bush administration, but the Bush administration did make management a priority. They did give speeches on this issue. And even going back to Clinton and Gore, we all remember the $200 hammer. We all remember reinventing government. We all remember that Clinton really seriously cut the government spending in areas where he didn't think it was appropriate. So we're not seeing that level of interest, at least from the president.
I would love to dig more into this issue. And as always, we've got more countdown than we've got time. Tom Simmons of Citrix, thank you very much for coming in to be on the countdown today. It's great to see you again.
My pleasure. Thanks.
John Desenberg, Performance Institute. Excellent as always. Joyce Bosk of Boscobel Marketing Communications. Thanks for the cupcakes for the birthday edition of the Federal News Countdown. Dora Beck Insider up next on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.